accession number 11377, rail 8.
Mr. Bill Bateman, rail 8. Continuing your training in Bombay, Mr. Bateman?
Yes, we did our training in Bombay, and we didn't know like battalion schemes. We did one naval defence of the whole harbour. We were combined with the Royal Artillery and the Royal Navy. But we did none. The signal platoon went round to all the offices and manned the telephones. See, there was no lines to run out, and there was only odd visual signals. And what we did was sometimes used to communicate with the naval ships. But we used to sometimes get in the middle, because they had more like a different procedure of calling. See, when they used to call, they used to call AA, like ACAC. I can't call the time. Well, we used to call Vic Edward. We used to go VE. But we got used to it. But the message we got through just the same. And we were a lot of went to into offices, and we used to have to answer the telephone for the naval officer that was in the office, like more like umpires. They were more like umpires than that. And we used to take messages. Also, messages used to come through, and instead of him talking over the phone, we used to write the messages on and give him it. Then he would maybe write another message out, and we would tell us where to send it to. There was a dial a number, but there wasn't many automatic in Bombay. It was nearly all manual exchange, and it was we were actually on the naval switchboard, and it lasted I think somewhere about a fortnight. We used to go about 9 o'clock in the morning, and they used to knock off for meals down there, and we used to be back in our back somewhere about 4:30. That's all it was. It happened there. It was, and then they also give us a trip up to the to see the big naval guns that was up defending the harbour. There was two great big 16-inch naval guns. On the right on the Calava Point. Then twice they fired it, but we were about nearly 200 yards behind it. There wasn't much, it's more like ceremonial parades. There was loads of ceremonial parades on Bombay, and it was more like training. And then we would move up to Dulali again. And that's where we get into the field work of it. And also we used to fire our course, go in the rifle range, and what they call fire the course, our course again. Because we used to do that every year. We still had to still fire the rifle, though we were signalers. We still had to pass our, get a certain score to get our proficiency peer. Besides our proficiency used to get extra if we passed our signals. And we used to have a test every year with the signal platoon.
What was your pay abroad?
India was rupees.
Was it the equivalent of what your pay was in England, but
yes,
in rupees?
In the rupee. The rupee was 1/6. But it was quite reasonable. The prices were quite reasonable. We weren't hard up, but we're always nearly waiting on Friday for our pay. And I think the most I think it was 3 shillings a day, I think I ended up by getting as a private.
Was the discipline abroad less strict than it was in England?
It was more strict there. Because they always used to emphasise the officers, remember your regiment, you represent your regiment. He says, if you do anything wrong, it says the regiment gets the bad name. And he says, also, you're an Englishman, and your country will get a bad name. There was no fighting or anything among the natives in Bombay or in Dulali.
With troops?
No, there's no fighting with troops. Not like you've seen on the films. The bayou could very rare we used to go. never gold drinking in Bombay. And we nearly, of course, we used to get our meal dinners, quite good food. Actually, the food in India was better than it was in England.
Was this because there was more variety or cooked better?
It was cooked better and more you were individually as well. Each company had its own cook and each dining room and each cookhouse. And also there was Indian cooks. Mm.
So what kind of food were you getting?
Well, the same, but it was cooked better. We could, the meat, the steaks, we used to get what they call battered steaks, and they were quite good. And while in England, we used to get maybe a boiled egg, a couple of boiled eggs used to be, they were all individually boiled. There weren't so many put in there. And it was nearly all, it isn't often we used to get boiled eggs, it was mainly all fried eggs. Mm. But there was a lot of curries, you used to get a lot of curry there. And rice, there used to be plenty of rice and that. And breakfast, it was the porridge, the usual porridge, and sausage and beans sometimes. And plenty of bread, and the bread was in the square loaves, where in England they were in the round loaves. Mm. And I don't think there was any change, but it was, we were fed better. And
what was the hygiene situation and the latrines?
The hygiene in Bombay was good, but in Dublin it was the ordinary toilets. There were, what do you call them, like a field toilet, just like a canvas hut, covered in canvas, and the we used to have bins, the toilet, and also the urinal used to run into bins, and the natives used to come and empty them. But Bombay, it was all modern, all flush lavatories.
But your health was good.
And our health was good. They were cleaned out every day. In Dolari, they were cleaned out every day and well disinfectant. Mm.
The emphasis on your appearance, was that pretty strong?
Yes. We used to have, we could wear one suit of khaki a day, KD, that was shorts and shirt, because we only had shorts and shirts on in there. And we used to change it every day. A dobe used to come and collect them. And I think we had four changes of KD, four shorts and four shirts. And then we had the long putties. Then till they decided that they would do away with the long putties, and they would have the short ankle putties and the hose stops, the stockings. And we had two pair of those, the stockings, because we used to wash them ourselves. The dobe didn't wash them. But the dobe used to bring it back. And if our shorts didn't, we used to open them out and stand them. If they didn't stand them, we used to give them back. He said there wasn't enough kunji in them. They had the starch, the usual starch there, kunji. Mm.
Were you getting mail from England pretty regularly?
Yes, we used to get it once a week. There used to be a mail boat come in every once a week. Mm. It was took, I think it took used to take 3 weeks to come by the boat, the payroll liner, the mail boat.
Did you get English newspapers?
Yes, there was canteen, in the canteen used to have English newspapers. But we never got any Sunday papers. There was never any Sunday papers came. But they were all out of date. I used to get the Yorkshire Chronicle. Then it was the Durham Advertiser. I used to get that sent out every week.
From home. This was sent from home?
Yes.
You said you were in Bombay for a certain period of time, then you moved back again.
Back to Dolari. Yeah. It was the same routine as we were before, because it was more open and we did more training again. See? Then we used to the rifle range. It was only at Dolari. There was no rifle range at Bombay. And when we were in Bombay, we used to, once or twice, we went up to a place called Santa Cruz. It was 14 mile, and we used to have to march it. And we used to spend up there, and it was more a bit open, but it wasn't on a big scale. It was only on a small scale, but just between ourselves in the single platoon.
What was the marching pace for such a long distance?
Well, we used to 120, the marching. But the ceremony was 160.
You mentioned ceremonials. What kind of ceremonials were you taking part in?
Well, there was the Seahorse Parade every Saturday morning. And then every now and then we'd have such as we had one when we were in Bombay. We did a guard of honour for the new Viceroy down the gate. The Gate of India. And then every New Year's Day we used to do the parade on the race course. But I think we only did one because the other one year we were, was it, it was 36, Christmas was 36 or 35. I can't remember now. But we only did one in Bombay, one big. Ceremony, what do you call proclamation parade. We should proclaim the King of England, the Emperor. Emperor of India. But the Indians, they thought more of Queen Victoria than they did of George the Fifth.
You came back again from Durrani into Bombay
into
a second
Bombay,
time.
Yes, and that's when we started packing up. That was in Christmas 36.
And what was happening then?
We started to pack all our kits up. There again, the quartermaster, instead of putting all our kits in the kit bags, he decided that every man would have a kid box, a square box, a certain size, and he would keep all our dress uniform, the KD and everything, all instead of getting all ruffled up, and we'd all keep it straight. And all we did, we put everything in that box, all our uniform, and then when we that was to go on the boat in the main hold. And he says, all you put in is what they call a sea kid bag, a small kid bag, what we took on board with us, we carried on ourselves, and that's what we used on the boat.
Was the whole battalion moving out?
The whole battalion was moving out, because we moved in from Clare Barish, we marched down to the docks, and then the other companies from Dolally, they came down by train, and we went, and I forget now what the boat was. Nasser? No, it wasn't Nasser. Nuria? No, I think it was a Nuralia. The RMS Nuralia went to Port Sudan in January the 26th, 1937. I remember that day before my birthday.
What was the journey? What was the journey from Bombay to the Sudan like, Mr. Bateman?
Well, it was quite good. We used to do... we're all... usual boat drill every morning, and then they used to have each platoon had its own time to do its PT exercises, and then there was the lectures. You used to get talks by different officers.
And also, what were they about?
Well, various things. Where we're going to, what now? He says you're going now from the Indians. Now the next thing is the Sudanese. He says, and you find it a different language. He says, and you find different currency. See, it come under the pound, in same as Egypt. And then we also have the bingo, what's called housey-housey. And, well, life on the board wasn't so bad. It was the same as when we came from England. There's the hammocks, and the rolling of the hammocks, and the inspection of the hammocks. The smugs were getting stored and everything like. But mainly, there wasn't many slept up downstairs, were nearly all on the top deck, because we were crossing the Red Sea, Indian Ocean, and then into the Red Sea. We called at port at Aden, but we didn't get off. We thought they were hoping that we'd get off to stretch our legs, but we didn't. And then we came up and got off at Port Sudan. Then we got into all train, and the trains, carriages were somewhat similar to the Indian ones. There weren't no posh seats, just all wooden them. But often the train had to be stopped because the sand had covered the track up. And I think it was, I can't remember how long it took us, I think it was about 12 hours, I think, from Port Sudan, after we got all the gear off the boat and got all loaded onto the train, and they went into Khartoum, across the Nile.
Was this, again, the whole battalion or part of
the whole battalion. The whole battalion was together. And we went we went into the what they call the South Barracks. And there was a Scottish regiment, I think it was the Black Watch, in the North Barracks. Oh, we knew it was Scottish because you could hear the bagpipes. Mm. And HQ Company was situated in a single story barracks, just one story, there's no upstairs. And the rifle companies had a double story. Mm. And the band, I think, had a double story. But the signal platoon and the other platoon of the headquarters had just this single. Now, then the routine was altered there because we never had to do parades between 9 o'clock and five. We weren't allowed outside because it was still hot. It was always sometimes as high as 120 in the shade. And we used to they all got settled in and that. And we had, there wasn't the natives to unload, we had to nearly unload the baggage ourselves. It was, I was somewhere in the region about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when 9 o'clock came, we all had to disappear into the barracks till 5 o'clock.
And what did you do between those hours?
Nothing. Maybe sit in our bed with nothing on, reading. Mm.
Did you find that very boring?
Well, sometimes very boring. And one of the trouble that you do was a sandstorm came up. And they clamped all the shutters. And there was no fans in there. Where they were called punkers. And they were by mechanical electric motor. And they made a hell of a row. Mm. Especially at night time, because I had it sometimes, it kept you awake. Mm. But when we got all settled in, everything, like we started our, the routine, and they said, right, oh, the routine will be changed now. He says, your rally now will be 4 o'clock in the morning. Just to get 4 o'clock in the morning, you used to do a PT, and then we used to go across to to the dining room, get our breakfast, and then we used to do or normal parades, signal parades, or line up, or there we had to do guards, did some guards. But it was only more like a night guard, because through the day there was only a regiment of police on the gate gate entrance. And parades used to finish at 8:30, and then they used to go into the barracks till 5 o'clock at night. And dinner time, the natives used to bring cans of tea, Dixies of tea, and maybe some cheese sandwiches. And then we used to get our main meal at 5 o'clock in the night. And then we used to, if there were no parades done, they would have maybe have a battalion football, one company playing another, and everybody had to attend. And then after about 7:30, we had our own time off again.
What did you do then? Was there
anything you could do? Well, to go to the canteen, sit in the canteen and drink tea, and used to listen to the BBC real shortwave, because there was a canteen had the radio, and then there was There was a canteen, a special one. I think it was more like a Salvation. It was a church. I think it was, I don't know, it was a Salvation Army had it. But they had one of the modern jukeboxes. They used to change the records on its own, you know. But then we used to maybe have a game of, four of us get around the table and have a game of whist. Or and if you had a mahjong set, you would have a game of mahjong, four of us.
It was a considerable change from India.
Oh, yes, it was quite a change. Because the hours, there again, we didn't have Thursday afternoon off, we used to have Wednesday afternoon off, because it came under English command. Also, when we left Bombay, we handed all our arms in, because there were Indian rifles, Indian, on the disc, it had the I, the number, AFI. On the disc, and you know, and the number on the disc and the butt, and because they all come under Indian command. So when we got to Khartoum, we had all the issue with all fresh rifles and bayonets. But we still had our ordinary equipment, the pouches, the five pouches, either side, the old type, and that's the only thing we handed in, and also. The polyas cases, we never handed them in. We took them with us. And when we got to Khartoum, we found that we had a full long-length mattress. We didn't need them. They were mattresses. And the lad said, that's a nice leg. So we got the tailor, because they were that good, the covers of the... they made a shirt. They made us two shirts out of the three polyas cases. And they're quite good khaki shirts. But then Khartoum, there wasn't much to do down the town. It was more like there wasn't much beer. And if you wanted to drink a beer, it was warm. It wasn't iced. It was mainly wine.
Could you move freely in the town?
Yes. There was in the barracks. There was an open air cinema, and there was also a swimming pool. There was also an open-air cinema in Khartoum. But we were getting more on the near stopping barracks. It isn't often we used to go down to Khartoum. And it was an open-air cinema. The only trouble is when it rained, it hit a scramble. It got wet. There was no cover on. See, it was all, the screen was covered, but all the audience, the people in the audience, was in the open.
What was the climate like?
Very dry. It was a very dry climate. Compared to, say, Calcutta was a very damp climate. And we used to get that prickly heat. Now, when we moved to Bombay, well, in Ballycpore, we had mosquito nets. But when we come to Bombay, there was no need for the mosquito net. That's what surprised me. Now, when we went to... Khartoum, we had to have the mosquito nets again. And
did you have a rainy season?
Yes, we had the monsoon season in India. They were terrible, and there wasn't much. It did rain, but when it did rain, it only it rained for about a full day, and then you had another week without. And you used to come, you used to toss it down, you know, like a cloudburst. We were glad and all, because you used to settle the sand. And then when the wind used to get up, you could see the distance over by the rifle range. They used to say, right up, shutters down, get the shutters up, there's a sandstorm on the way. And have you ever seen a photograph of one? It's just like a great big cloud, and it rolls, this sandstorm. And I can't describe it, but it is. You think the whole cloud had come down on the ground and they were moving forward. And you could see the roll of the sand as it was coming. And when it came, it still got into the barracks. And it used to last for about an hour. And you could hardly breathe. You could nearly take all the air away from it. And then it cleared up. There was still all that very fine sand. You used to get After when we were allowed outside, we'd stick all our bedding and everything out and shake it all out and then sweep all the bunnick out. Mm.
Did it affect your health?
No, it didn't affect us health. But we used to put towels around our mouths and everything while it was there.
Were you involved in any training again and any manoeuvring?
No, we did. There was no manoeuvring there. We didn't do any manoeuvres. We did ceremonial guards on the Governor's Palace down in Khartoum. It was a terrible lot. It was more like you had to be fully dressed. See, you weren't allowed to have shirt sleeves, and you had to have your tunic on and your tunic buttoned up. Whereas in the barracks, when we used to do our ordinary train and on our drill pre, we had open-necked shirts, just shirt sleeves. And that photograph in there, we all have tunics on. But when we did the guard at the palace, we had to be all boshed up and everything. It's more like a royal guard, you know, there.
And how long would the guard last?
24 hours. And there was the same again. It was saying there was two sentries on.
Mm. And could you cope with the heat with all this?
We weren't right outside. We were underneath there, like where the coaches used to come for the governor and that. I think they called him a governor down there.
Did you get much opportunity to meet them and work with the natives?
No, we didn't get much opportunity there. They seemed to keep themselves to themselves. There was no like charwalas that came around like in India. There's only like helpers in the cookhouse in the dining rooms. Mm.
Did they give no trouble?
No, didn't give no trouble at all. There's one or two like who used to do some thieving, like, but nearly all it was more like I don't know many times say there was a native going into the barrack room. But it was nearly always the role made sure they were taken. They had to leave the barracks. They had to leave the compound by dusk, and they weren't allowed in till daylight again. And the laundry was the same, but we were more like we knew yesterday most of our. Signal training. We used to have PT strip on, boots and rolled down stockings, and white shorts and a vest. Could wash them. Could go over there and just wash it. And it used to dry by next morning. Mm. But we had three sets of PT kit, mm. And we still did our tests on the signal at the end of the. But we did one in, I think it was March. But I enjoyed in Khartoum. It was a change. Then.
Was the hygiene situation in the barracks, was that good?
The hygiene, yes. No, I can't remember. But the toilets were, I can't remember. I think they were flush toilets.
Were the barracks very old buildings or relatively new?
Well, they were quite good. I was in good condition. I don't know how long they'd been there, like. But the big ones, they were quite good. Mm. And you know, it seemed to be, they had the, hadn't fans, they had punkers. These things that go backwards and forwards. And it was quite cool with them on, going. But only trouble is they made a noise. Some of the, as you say, want to get some oil on them.
You didn't get any local leave at all while you were there?
No, we didn't. We never got any local leave in Bombay or Doon Alley. There was nowhere to go. Like. And that again, it was another mail. We used to get see the flying boat come in. The Imperial Airways flying boat to land on the Nile. And you say, hey, so here's the mail coming in. And you see all the mail by air mail there then. Mm.
How did you look upon mail? Was it an important part of
your
life?
Oh, it was important to all life, this year. You see, you used to look once a week, somewhere about sometimes Wednesday, sometimes different days it used to land, but just to be within a week, like. And we got the mail was quite good, like the good service.
Had you lost any men abroad who died of?
Yes, we had in Dunlady, we had one lad drowned in the lad's called Bell. He drowned at the river. I never went up to, I didn't know where the river was, but we'd seen him before. Like, by the bathing pool, he'd got caught in some reeds or something. And then there was one chap, a regimental policeman. I don't know what he died of. There was only two in Dunlally. There was one lad, he was supposed to be murdered, but he was found stabbed. But I think he'd been, arguing over a girlfriend or something. Some of the natives said she was a half caste. Oh no, what do you call? I can't know what you call him now. But he died in Bombay Hospital. And as far as I know, that's the only ones I remember in India.
Did you bury them with military honours or military?
Well, the company they did. The battalion didn't. The company just provided the military funeral. But for the sake of that, Pointy Bell that Bell had died, drowned, the signal platoon provided the guard.